Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Memor by Avram Golder, and today we're in Sekhah Sukkah, Daf Nun Aleph, the fifth parak, Hechalio. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara asks, what is the reason for the one who says, Ikar Shira Bekli, that the essential sacrificial song is with instrumental accompaniment? For it's written, and Chizkiyahu directed that the oil be offered on the Mizbeach, and as the service of the oil began, Hechil Shira Hashem, Vahachat Rotzos Vaidei Kli David Melch Yisrael. The song of Hashem began, and the blowing of the trumpets, and with the instruments of David Melch Yisrael. Since the Pasuk mentions the instruments as part of the Shir HaShem, it implies that they form part of the Ikar Shira. And what is the reason the one who says that Ikar Shira Bapeh, that the essential song is purely vocal, for it's written, there was unison among the trumpeters and songsters, producing music as with one voice. No mention here is made of instrumentalists, implying that their role was not essential. Rashi explains that although the chatzrotzos were sounded, it was for the purpose of fulfilling the chiyuv that the tamid ha-musaf be accompanied by the blowing of the trumpets, but they were not part of the shira. The Gemara goes on to explain how each opinion understands the other opinion's source. Pointing to the next mission provides a lengthy description of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. It was taught in a braisa, Mishul ra Simchas Beis HaShoeva, will ra Simcha Miyama. Whoever did not see the celebration of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva never saw rejoicing in all his days. Whoever did not see Yerushalayim in its splendor never saw a delightful city in his life. Whoever did not see the Beis HaMikdash when it stood never saw a magnificent structure in his life. Abai said, and some say it was Rav Chis who said it, Zeb Binyan Hurdus. It refers to the one built by Herod. Rava said he built it with stones of green and white marble. Others say it was with stones of green, blue, and white marble. One row of stones protruded, and the other row was recessed in order to provide space for cement. Herod thought to cover the entire temple with gold plating, but the Rabban told him to leave it as it is, for this way is more becoming. Since the swirling coloration of the marble appears like the waves of the sea, Rashi explains that the shifting colors of the marble made it appear as if the walls were undulating like waves. And point number three, as Tana Brisa Rav Yudah said, whoever did not see the Diyapu stone of Alexandria in Mitzrayim, Lora B'Kvodon Shi Yisrael, never saw the glory of Yisrael. It was like a large basilica with row of benches inside a row of benches. On occasion, there were double the amount of people that left Mitzrayim in attendance. There were 71 chairs of gold in it, corresponding to the members of the great Sanhedrin, and a wooden platform in its center upon which the Chazan of Knesset, the Shul Gabbai, would stand with a flag in his hand. When it came time to answer Amen, he would wave the flag as a signal and all the people would answer. The people did not sit mixed. Rather, the goldsmiths sat separately, and the silversmiths sat separately, and the blacksmiths sat separately, and so on. When a poor man came in there, he would readily recognize the section reserved for his fellow craftsmen and would turn there for employment, and from there obtain employment for himself and his family. The Gemara goes on to tell of the end of the community when Alexander came and slaughtered them. So once again, the three points are number one. The Gemara asks, what is the reason for the one who says, Ikar Shir Bakli, that the essential sacrificial song is with instrumental accompaniment, for it's written, and Chizkiyahu directed that the oil be offered on the Mizbeach, and as the service of the oil began, Hechel Shir Hashem, v'hachatzrotzos v'ayidei kli David Melch Yisrael. The song of Hashem began, and the blowing of the trumpets, and with the instruments of David Melch Yisrael. Since the Pasuk mentions the instruments as part of the Shir Hashem, it implies that they form part of the Ikar Shira. What is the reason for the one who says Ikar Shira Bapeh, that the essential song is purely vocal, for it's written, there was unison among the trumpeters and songsters producing music as with one voice. No mention is made here of instrumentalists, implying that their role was not essential. Rashi explains that although the chatzrotzos were sounded, it was for the purpose of fulfilling the chiyuv that the tamid ha-musaf be accompanied by the blowing of the trumpets, but they were not part of the shira. The Gemara goes on to explain how each opinion understands the other opinion's source. Point number two, the next mission provides a lengthy description of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. It's on a braisa, Mishul Ra Simchas Beis HaShoeva, or Ra Simcha Miyamav. Whoever did not see the celebration of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva never saw rejoicing in all his days. Mishul Ra Yushalayim B'Sifarta, will Ra Krach Nechmad Ma'olam. Whoever did not see Yushalayim in its splendor never saw a delightful city in his life. Mishul Ra Beis HaMikdash B'Vinyano, will Ra Binyam Mefor Ma'olam. Whoever did not see the Beis HaMikdash when it stood never saw a magnificent structure in his life, Abai said, and some say it was Rav Chis who said it, Zeb Binyan Hurdos. It refers to the one built by Herod. Rava said he built it with stones of green and white marble. Others say it was with stones of green, blue, and white marble. One row of stones protruded, and the other row was recessed in order to provide space for cement. Herod thought to cover the entire temple with gold plating, but the Rabban told him to leave it as it is, for this way is more becoming, demizchazik advasa diyama, since the swirling coloration of the marble appears like the waves of the sea. Rashi explains that the shifting colors of the marble made it appear as if the walls were undulating like waves. And point number three is taught in a brace where Behuda said, whoever did not see the dipur stone of Alexandria Mitzrayim, will rabbi chvodon she Yisrael never saw the glory of Yisrael. It was like a large basilica with a row of benches inside a row of benches. On occasion, there were double the amount of people that left Mitzrayim in attendance. There were 71 chairs of gold in it, corresponding to the members of the great Sanhedrin, and a wooden platform in its center upon which the Chazan HaKnesses, the Shul Gabbai, would stand with a flag in his hand. When it came time to answer Amen, he would wave the flag as a signal and all the people would answer. The people didn't sit mixed, rather the goldsmiths sat separately, and the silversmiths sat separately, and the blacksmiths sat separately, and when a poor man came in there, he would readily recognize the section reserved for his fellow craftsmen and would turn there for employment, and from there obtain employment for himself and his family. The Gemara goes on to tell the end of the community when Alexander came and slaughtered them. All right, so now we go to our Simmer Daf Nun Aleph, and our standard simmon is related to the word gnaw. Who gnaws? Beavers gnaw. So our simmon is going to be beaver pelt hats. Beaver pelt hats. So here goes. The Beaver Pelt Hat Society, enjoying a concert of vocalists with no instrumentation and fascinated by the stage walls that seemed to undulate like waves, sat in a section of the massive auditorium where poor beaver pelt hat wearers could find them. Once again in slow motion. The Beaver Pelt Hat Society, Beaver Pelt Hats, that must be one duff, none all of, nah. The Beaver Pelt Hat Society, enjoying a concert of vocalists with no instrumentation, which reminds us of the source of brought for the one who holds that Iker Shira Bakli, and for the other one who holds Iker Shira Befeh. So the Beaver Pelt Hat Society, enjoying a concert of vocalists with no instrumentation, and fascinated by the stage that seemed to undulate like waves, which reminds us, whoever did not see the Simcha's Beis HaShoeva never saw Simcha in his days, whoever didn't see Yerushalayim in its splendor, Lo Ra Krach Nechmad Ma'olam, never saw a delightful city in his life, whoever did not see the base of Migdash when it stood, referring to the one built by Hurdos, never saw a binyan mefor, a magnificent structure in his life. The Gemara describes how the different color marble that was used made the walls appear like they were undulating, like waves. So the Beaver Pelt Hat Society, enjoying a concert of vocalists with no instrumentation, and fascinated by the stage walls that seemed to undulate, like waves, sat in a section of the massive auditorium where poor Beaver Pelt Hat wearers could find them. Which reminds us, whoever did not see the Diapos stone of Alexandria at Mitzrayim never saw the glory of Yisrael. It was a massive basilica. The Chazan HaKnesses need to stand on a platform in the center and wave a flag to indicate to people when to say Amen, and people sat in sections according to the profession. When a poor person came, he would find his fellow craftsmen and seek employment. So once again, the Beaver Pelt Hat Society, enjoying a concert of vocalists with no instrumentation and fascinated by the stage walls that seemed to undulate like waves, sat in a section of the massive auditorium where poor Beaver Pelt Hat wearers could find them. All right, now it's time for four blot back Chazara. Daf Mem Zayin. So the Simmer Daf Mem Zayin is a maze. So here goes. To make it through the Sukkos, escape the maze. Maze, that must be one Daf Mem Zayin. To make it through the Sukkos, escape the maze, participants in the diaspora had to all agree whether they should sit in the Sukkah on the eighth day, which reminds us of the Machlokes regarding dwelling in the Sukkah in Galus on the eighth day, that is possibly the seventh day. In the Gemara's second interpretation of the Machlokes, everybody agrees that we do not recite the Baracha of Leishah B'Sukkah. They only disagree with respect to dwelling in the Sukkah on the eighth day. So to make it through the Sukkos, escape the maze, participants in the diaspora had to all agree whether they should sit in the Sukkah on the eighth day, while making a Shachiyanu and Shmini Atzeres, and not on Shvi'i Shel Pesach, which reminds Rabbi Yochanan said we recited Shachiyanu and Shmini Atzeres, but not on the seventh day of Pesach. There are those who explain that Shmini Atzeres is considered a separate holiday, Shorechalok B'Shol Shedvarim, because it's different from the 7 days of Sukkos that proceed in three ways, with Sukkah, Luv, and Nisach HaMayim. When the Gemara said Shvi'i Shel Pesach should require Shachiyanu as well, since it's different from the first day of Pesach, in that there's no mitzvah to eat matzah like the first night, it answers that while it's different from the first night of Pesach, it's not different from the first day of Pesach, when there is no chiyuv to eat matzah, as opposed to Shmini Atzeres, which is different even from the first day. So, to make it through the Sukkos, escape the maze, participants in the diaspora had to all agree whether they should sit in the Sukkah on the eighth day, while making a Shachiyanu and Shmini Atzeres, and not in Shvi'i Shel Pesach, and then sleep in sleeping bags and tarry overnight. Which reminds us, the Gemara questions Rabbi Yehuda, who says that Shmini Atzeres requires lina based on a brisa that Rabbi Yehuda said that Pesach Sheni should not require lina, since the pasuk "Upanisa b'buk b'halachta b'halacha," you may turn back in the morning and go to your tents, is juxtaposed in the next pasuk, "Sheishes yamin tocha matzahs," for 6 days you shall eat matzahs. Only that which requires an observance of 6 days requires lina. So the Gemara suggests that this would also exclude Shemini Atzeres. But then it answers that it only excludes Pesach Sheni, which is similar to Pesach Rishon. Rashi says that since the Pasuk discusses Pesach, the exclusion is only to another Pesach-like holiday. Daf Memches. So the Simmer Daf Memches is Brainiacs. So here goes. The Brainiacs. That must be more in Daf Memches. The Brainiacs, who tried to predict whether their neighbors in the next Sukkah would still be singing B'samachta B'chagecha on the 8th day, which reminds us, the Gemara asks for the source for rejoicing on the 8th day, given that the Chiyuv of Simcha is stated explicitly only with regard to the 7 days of Sukkahs, as it's written, Chag HaSukkahs Ta'aselecha, make for yourself a festival of Sukkahs for 7 days, and next with the Pasuk states, V'samachta B'chagecha, you shall rejoice in your Chag. And the Gemara answers, there was taught in a Braisa that in reference to the rejoicing of Sukkahs, it's written, V'ayisa Ach Sameach, and you shall be nothing but joyous, V'rabos Le'el Yom Tov Achron. This comes to include the final night of Yantav, meaning Shemini Atzeres, in the rejoicing of the previous 7 days. So the Brainiacs who tried to predict whether their neighbors in the next Sukkah would still be singing V'samachta B'chagecha on the 8th day, based on their trumpet blowing frequency for the tune of U'shaftim Maim B'sasam the first 7 days, which reminds the Gemara seeks a source for the blowing of the Chatzosros, the trumpets, when they returned with the water from the Shuach for the Nisach HaMaim, and Ravena said, for it states in the Pasuk, U'shaftim Maim B'sasam Yimanei Yeshua, and showed water with rejoicing from the wellsprings of salvation. The Gemara then brings an incident with a heretic named Sasson. So the Brainiacs who tried to predict whether their neighbors in the next Sukkah would still be singing V'samachta B'chagecha on the 8th day, based on the trumpet blowing frequency for the tune of U'shaftim Maim B'sasson the first 7 days, also tested the damaging limits of smoke absorption in water and wine, and smoke inhalation in sacrificial birds. Which reminds us, it was taught in a Braisa, all who ascend the ramp to the Mizbech ascend toward the right, go around the Mizbech, and then ascend on the left side of the ramp, except for one who ascends for 3 things, who would ascend the ramp toward the left, and then after performing the task, descend the way they had come down. The 3 things are Nisach HaMayim, Nisach HaYayin, V'Oza Uf, K'sharibsa B'Mizrach, the water libation, the wine libation, and the blood of the bird ola, when there are too many bird olas, and thus too many Kohanim on the east side of the Mizbech. Rashi explains that these items might be adversely affected from the smoke of the Mizbech if the Kohen took the regular route around the Mizbech, which is more than 100 amas long. Water and wine might absorb the smoke and become possible, and the bird ola might die. Daf Mem Tes, so the Simmer Daf Mem Tes is meat, and we use a butcher. So here goes. The butcher of Breshi's meats. Butcher, meats, that must be one Daf Mem Tes. The butcher of Breshi's meats, who used a picture of the Shisin for his logo, which reminds us that the Gemara brings sources that the Shisin into which the libations flowed exists from the beginning of creation. It was taught in the Kamer of Ishmael, the Torah begins with the word Breshis, Altikra Breshis, Ela Barashis. Do not pronounce it Breshis in the beginning, but rather Barashis, he created Shis. Another Breis of disputes is maintaining that the Shisim were man-made excavations. So the butcher of Breshis meets, who used a picture of the Shisim for his logo, sponsored Chalon for the Bachrim who did acts of Chesed, because they were greater than Tzedakah. Which reminds us, Gemilas Chosanim are greater than Tzedakah in 3 matters. One Tzedakah is only done with one's money, whereas Gemilas Chosanim are done with one's body and with one's money. 2, Tzedakah is only given to the poor, whereas Gemilas Chosanim are performed for both the poor and the rich. And 3, Tzedakah is only performed for the living, whereas Gemilas Chosanim are for both the living and the dead. So the butcher of Breshi's meats, who used a picture of the Shisin for his logo, sponsored Chon for the Bachrim who did acts of Chesed, because they were greater than Tzedakah. And he made sure to always teach others what he had learned. Which reminds me, we have 2 different pshatim what the words Torah's Chesed mean in the Pasuk Pia Pascha B'Chachma B'Torah's Chesed Aloshona. One pshat is that Torah learned Lashma is referred to as Torah's Chesed, where Torah learned Shaloshma is not Torah's Chesed. The other pshat is that Torah that is learned with the intention of teaching to others is referred to as a Torah B'Chesed. However, a Torah that's learned without the intention of teaching it to others is considered a Torah that is not of Chesed. Daf Nun. So the Simmer Daf Nun is a nincompoop. So here goes. The nincompoop. That must be more on Daf Nun. The nincompoop who bumped into a golden barrel of unconsecrated water, which reminds us that just as Nisach HaMayim was performed on a weekday, was performed on Shabbos, except that the Kohen would not draw the water from the Meshaloch on Shabbos itself, rather on every Shabbos he would fill a Chavishol Zahav She'enim Kodesh, an unconsecrated barrel from the Shiloh, and have it in the chamber used the next day. Ze'iri said the reason an unconsecrated barrel was used was because the Tamar Mishnah maintains that Kli Sharis Mekadshim Shiloh Medas, that a Kli Sharis sanctified the contents without intention. If one brought the water in a Kli Sharis on every Shabbos, it would become possible through Lina. Chizkiah said that the Kriyas does not sanctify except with dust. So there's no concern of actual lean. However, there were gozer that should be placed in an unconsecrated vessel, lest onlookers see the water in a Kriyas and assume it was sanctified with dust. So the nincompoop who bumped into a golden barrel of unconsecrated water and dropped his flute into it, as a choir sang, which reminds us, the opening mission of the fifth parak states that the chalil, the flute playing that accompanied the Simchas Beis Shoshuev, was not Docher Shabbos Yantav. And the Gemara explains, because it was merely there to enhance rejoicing, it's not a true avoda, and therefore not Docher Shabbos. Rav Yosef explained to Malchokas regarding the flute playing for the Shir Shal Karban, Rav Yosef Rav Yudah holds that it is Docher Shabbos because Iker Shir Bakli, the essential shir, is with instruments, va'avodahi, and therefore it's deemed an avoda, and is Docher Shabbos. Whereas Rabban held it was not Docher Shabbos or Yantav because Iker Shir Bapeh, the essential shir, is vocal, and the instrumental accompaniment is not an avoda, and so is not Docher Shabbos. So the nincompoop who bumped into a golden barrel of unconsecrated water and dropped his flute into it, as a choir sang, pulled out an ancient wooden one from his pocket, and continued on his way. Which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa regarding the suitability of clay shards that were fashioned from wood. Revi's posel them, and Revi Yossi bar Yudas maksha them. Wamshan in the Machokas is whether Dunin Efshar Mishi Efshar, whether we can derive a possibility from an impossibility. Do we derive the suitability of wood for other clay shards where metal would serve as well, from the case of Moshe's wooden flute where metal would not have served as well, since a metal flute would not have sounded so sweet? Or perhaps since the flute had to be made of reed, no proof can be brought for the other clay shards. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda's Maksha wooden vessels holds Dunin Efshar Mishi Efshar, whereas Rabbi, who is posting them, holds Lo Dunin Efshar Mishi Efshar. All right, so that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman. Zichron, wish you a great day and great learning.